Amen. Today's message, as we celebrate communion, today's message is titled Jesus, the Supreme Expert in Faith Care. Jesus, the Supreme Expert in Faith Care. And I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, which will be our text for today. And I want to give you a heads up while you're turning there. You're not going to be able to keep up with me this morning. Okay, so don't get frustrated. You're not going to be able to keep up. You're going to be saying, well, wait a minute, was that point one or two? What was that? Don't worry about it. Again, you can access the notes that I will be, the notes of today's message, you can access them at our website, valleybrook.church. This evening between 6 and, wait, there's a basketball game, right? No. Between 6 and 9 this evening. Hebrews 12. And we're looking at verses 1 through 3. And the word of the Lord says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen. The key to some of the things that we are instructed to do in this text, the key to throwing off everything, as it says, everything that hinders us, and the sin, getting untangled from the sin that so easily entangles us, the key to running with perseverance, not growing weary and not losing heart, the key to all of this is right there in the center of the text. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author. He started this thing. He's the one who began it. He is the one who conceived the story that we are living. He's the author, and he's the perfecter of our faith. He is the one that makes our faith solid, sound, secure, stable. He is the one who keeps our faith strong. Thus, the title, Expert, Jesus the Supreme Expert in Faith Care. You know, the idea of self-care, as I wrote this past Friday, the idea of self-care is a big thing these days. And as believers, we can thank the Lord for faith care, because he is the one who has faithfully nurtured, and he's the one who has sustained our faith in him. As the text says, he's the perfecter of our faith. He's the one that is bringing it to completion. He is the one who is feeding it. He is the one who is burnishing it. The faith that we have today is a product of his faithfulness, because he is the one who is nurturing and cultivating our faith. Did you think you were doing it? Did you think you were the one giving your faith the octane that it needs to get over that hill? Did you think you were the one pushing it across that rugged terrain? No, we have someone in our lives who began this whole thing, who began to author it, who conceptualized it, conceived it, and implemented it, and is now perfecting it. He is the one that gives our faith care. He is the one who provides that. His faith care is the cause. Our faith is the effect. It's what he does with our faith that causes our faith to do what it does. So he is the one behind the scenes that is nurturing our faith. And so when the disciples prayed and said, Lord, increase our faith, they were on the right track. The Lord, of course, told them that if you have the faith like a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be cast into the sea, and it would obey you. But they went to the right person. Lord, increase our faith. Why? Because you're the perfecter of our faith. You're the one who knows how it works. You're the one who knows what it needs. You're the one who knows how to re-energize it when it's worn down. You're the one who knows how to give it that spark and that fizzle and that fizz and that effervescence when it's flat. You're the perfecter of our faith. So if you're taking notes, this is about the only thing you're going to be able to capture, is the main idea is communion. Communion is a marvelous resource for faith care. And that's what I want to talk about. How the Lord uses communion as a resource, as a tool, as an instrument for our faith care. Communion reminds us that our faith is in a real person. This is one of the ways that the Lord uses it to care for our faith. It reminds us that our faith is in a real person and a real event, that it's not in a myth, it's not in a philosophy, it's not even in a religion, but in a person who actually lived on earth, who actually died, and who was seen by many men and women alive after he had been crucified. Our faith is not in something nebulous, it's in a solid event in history and a real person. And communion tells us this ain't no game. And the Lord was brilliant. And the more I think about communion and the more I celebrate it, the more I realize that that simple symbol, that simple memorialization that the Lord implemented that night has tremendous power because of its significance and because of what he intended for it to remind us of in remembering him. It reminds us that our faith is in a real person, in a real event. It also reminds us that we're loved beyond human understanding, that we are unfathomably loved. Communion reminds us that we're not just loved. That we're not just loved a lot, but that we are loved unfathomably. That we cannot grasp the depth of God's love for us. You know how people say, you know, I've just been dying to meet you. Which means I've really been longing to meet you, but not really dying. No. Not really. I like you, but not that much. I'm impressed by you, but not that much. But we say, I've been dying to meet you. Now, Jesus is the only one who can say, I died to meet you. I died to meet. It wasn't a manner of speaking. But I died so that I could meet you. You know, we pray that God would help us to know him better. We pray that he would increase our connection with him. And the Lord says, who are you talking to? I died to make that possible. How badly do I want it? I want it a lot more than you do. I want it far more than you could ever begin to imagine. I died to meet you, Don, and one day we will, face to face. Communion reminds us that we are unfathomably loved, that love beyond human understanding is what we've been given. And it's demonstrated in the way he came. He came from heaven's splendor, from heaven's glory, and he came to earth poor, dependent, and human. The way he came. It's demonstrated in the way he stayed. You know, it wasn't just the last 3 years of his ministry that Jesus gave to us. It was his entire life. He lived his whole life in preparation for his death on the cross. And as you remember, he said in the garden, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason I came into the world. From the very beginning, this was the end game, that I would die. And so the way he came and the way he stayed are expressions of his unfathomable love for us. And then the way he left. Whew! I can think of a lot of other ways I would rather leave this world than the way he chose to leave it. And he chose to leave it. He said, I lay down my life. Nobody takes it from me. Nobody takes it from me. I had blood drawn earlier this month. And as the nurse came towards me with the needle, and she asked, right arm or left arm? I said, right arm. And she got closer, and I tried to be a man. Am I going to look at it or not? And I kind of looked at it, but then I turned away just as she got there. And then I thought about the Lord. I thought about the Lord choosing to have his wrists pierced with nails. And that little prick that I got was too much for me. And to think about the Lord. To think about the Lord. Choosing, allowing himself to be pierced and to feel every bit of it. It wasn't like he was like, okay, go ahead, you can't hurt me anyway. No, he felt every bit of it for one reason, only one reason, love. That was it. Again, there was no obligation on his part to do this, but he chose to do it. Pierced for you, pierced for me. Communion reminds us that the end of our life is not the end of our road. The end of our life is not the end of our road. On that night that Jesus was arrested, he said to his disciples, I am going to prepare a place for you. I'm leaving. I know what's coming. Y'all don't even know it yet, but I know what's coming. And I'm going. I'm leaving you. I'm about to exit this life. They're coming. They're going to arrest me. They're going to beat me. They're going to scorn me. They're going to mock me. They're going to hand me over to be crucified. But I'm going beyond that. I am going not just to death. You know, it's not like, well, I'm leaving y'all. No, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be there as well. I'm leaving this life to to return to the life that I had before the world began. I was alive before the world began, and I'm leaving, and I'm going to return to the life that I had before the world began, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. And by my resurrection, you will know that the end of this life is not the end of your road. When you see me alive again, you will know that there is life beyond this one. And that when I say I am going to prepare a place for you, I'm not making that up. The end of your road here on this earth is not the end of your life forever. It is not the end of the road. It is the end of this life, but not the end of your road. And communion reminds us that this is not all there is. Communion reminds us that the end of our life is not the end of our road. Jesus said, he who believes in me will never die. Will never die. How could he say that? When we've seen so many saints die and lying there in their coffins, how could he say, he who believes in me will never die? Because the end of physical life is not the cessation of life. The end of physical life is just a transition to life eternal. And communion reminds us, you know, we're getting older. And we're marching to Zion. As the old hymn says. We're advancing in age. But we're not just advancing in age, brothers and sisters. We are advancing towards our life beyond this one. That's what we're advancing to. We're not just advancing away from our youth. We're not advancing to oblivion. We're advancing to life beyond this one. And communion reminds us that that life is as real as the physical one that we're living here on earth. It reminds us that there's a Savior who lived a physical life on this earth just like us, but who died, and before he died said, I'm going someplace. I'm going away to another place that exists beyond what you see here. There is a realm that exists beyond this earthly realm. And I am going to this place, this physical place, not just a head trip or a spiritual hazy place. I am going to a place, an actual place, to prepare a place for you. Revelation tells us what that place looks like. It's a real place. It's not clouds and mist. It's a real place, as real as this place, as touchable as this place. I wish I could tell you more about it, but I'm going to keep on going. So those are some of the things that communion reminds us of. But wait. Wait. That's right. There's more. If you think that's all, fasten your seatbelts. Brothers and sisters, fasten your seatbelts because we are about to go into hyperdrive. Because there is so much more. Starting with Luke 22, verse 20, it says, after the supper, Jesus took the cup. He took the cup. And it says, he said, this cup represents the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. My blood is poured out for you to purchase for you all the benefits of the new covenant. Wait a minute. Communion is not just a celebration of the death and resurrection of Christ. It's a celebration of the purchase of Christ. It's a celebration of what he purchased with his blood. And it's a thank you for all the gifts of the new covenant. This blood is shed for you for the new covenant. This is the price of the new covenant. And because I'm paying the price, all the benefits of the new covenant are now yours. So when we come together, we're not just celebrating the fact of his death and his resurrection. We're also celebrating the gifts of the new covenant that he died to give us. You see, communion reminds us to remember all the new covenant benefits that were purchased by his blood. As it says in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. All the blessings of the Psalms are ours. But here are some others. And I can't give you all of them, but I'm going to give you some. The blessings of the new covenant that are ours because of what Christ died to give us. This cup represents my blood in the new covenant. Fellowship with other believers. Fellowship with other believers. You know, this past week I wrote, you know, I had no clue what happened to me that day in September many years ago when I invited Christ into my life. I didn't know what happened. I didn't know what was going on. Something happened. I said yes to Jesus and something happened. A change began taking place within me that I was not imagining, but I couldn't fathom and I couldn't explain. Something took hold. Something started happening in me when I said yes to Jesus. You've heard me tell this story many times. This change began to take place. All I knew to do was to go back to the people who'd led me into this new experience, the people that I'd met on the road who shared Christ with me, and because I believed that, things started happening in my life that I couldn't explain, and all I knew to do to get further clarity was to go back to those people. Maybe they can give me some answers. I figured that's where the answers were, and I was right. And then I realized this morning that I've been with those people ever since. My life changed that day. I got hooked up with those people. And I've been with those people ever since. Not with the same individuals, because I've moved around, but with God's people who are all over the world. A peculiar people, aliens and strangers on earth, who are also citizens of heaven, the scripture says. People whose lives have been changed. Whose lives have been changed. Not people who changed their lives. But people whose lives have been changed. People who look at their lives with a sense of wonder and say, what is happening to me? What is this? What is this? That's what I came encounter. That's what I encountered. So I'm one of those people, a peculiar aliens and strangers, citizens of people whose lives have been changed, not by force of will or personal discipline, or by the tenets of religion, or the values of a political party, but by Jesus Christ himself, the living Savior. People who, even though they remain today flawed and imperfect, are at the same time his new creations. And we're able to see Jesus past one another. Yes. We're able to see Jesus despite our imperfections. Yes. And thank God for that. I was telling my wife, I said, you know what? There's products that are outstanding products, but they've got terrible reps. You run into a bad rep and they can just jack up the image of the product, but it does not change the product itself. As Christians, we are reps. Jesus is the product. And sometimes we're bad reps, but the product remains the same. And as because of God's work in our lives, as we fellowship with one another, we are able to see past the imperfections and still see Jesus in one another. How in the world does that work? And so it is with people who don't know Jesus. If their hearts are inclined to receive, you can't mess it up. You can be a mess, but you can't mess it up, because it's not dependent upon your display, and it is not dependent upon your presentation. It is dependent upon their faith. By faith you have been saved. By grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. I'd become one of them people. And 45 years later, I remain one of them. For those of you who were inclined to send me a text after my Michigan State Spartans lost last week, some of you declined to do so because you were being sensitive and kind and loving. Others had no such compunctions. Well, I just want you to know I did not watch a moment of the game, not a single moment. You know why? Because what I do is I record the game, then I look at the final score. If they lost, I delete it. Why torment myself? Why sit through 2 hours and then be miserable at the end? That's my thinking. Call me a coward, call me what you will, but that's what I do. So after I saw the final score, saw that they lost, I decided that, okay, on Tuesday or Wednesday morning when I got over the hurt and disappointment, I decided to creep on to YouTube and see the interview by the Kansas State coach, see what he had to say about our team. See, I don't want to hear what our coach, I want to hear what the other player's coach said, you know. I wanted him to hear Michigan State was a tough team, they were great. Or I wanted to hear him say something that was arrogant so that next year we'll really take them down. But so I'm all prepared for the worst listening to this coach. He gets on and he says, first of all, I just want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because without him, I am nothing. And he didn't say it shyly, or he didn't say it sort of, you know, under his breath. I mean, he just blasted it out as confidently as they were saying, you know, I'm so proud of these players of mine. Boy, we played a great game. He said it with that same enthusiasm. I just want to say, first of all, I thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because without him, I am nothing. And then he went on. He went on and talked about the game. And I thought, doggone it, I wanted to hate this guy. But he's one of them people. God's got them everywhere. You're one of them. He's made us one of them. The gift, that is one of the gifts. The fellowship with other believers. I was whistling the other day. Sometimes I'm whistling and I don't even know why I'm whistling. I just whistle my wife. Sometimes I'm in my office and I'm whistling and my wife comes in and she shuts the door, you know. And sometimes when I hear her coming down the hall, I stop whistling, because I don't want her to catch me. I don't want her to shut the door on me, you know. So anyway, most of the time, it's too late. By the time she hears the whistling, because it's so shrill, she says, it just penetrates all through the house. She can hear it. Sometimes she says she's in the garage, and she can hear me in the house doing it. And I'm like, okay. So I'm whistling one day, and I'm whistling the William Tell Overture, which is also, as you know, the theme to the Lone Ranger. You know, and that's for many of us, including me, that's the first time I ever heard it. I didn't even know it was called the William Tell Overture. I was like, the Lone Ranger, you know, I'm in this classic, love classical music class, and I hear that, oh, that's the Lone Ranger. No, it's the William Tell Overture. Okay, so I'm whistling this, and I realized, you know what, I'm not the Lone Ranger. I'm not a Lone Ranger in my faith. God didn't make me a Lone Ranger. It's not up to me alone. I'm not responsible on my own to live this life. God has connected me with brothers and sisters who love me, who pray for me, who listen to me, who forbear with me, who work with me, who are generous towards me, who remind me of who I am and where I am and what I have in the faith. It is the gift of fellowship, which is a part of the new covenant that Jesus paid for, and of which communion reminds us that we have one another, and not just one another in this room. We are connected throughout time with those who name the name of Jesus. The gift of his presence is another blessing of the new covenant. The gift of his presence. The Holy Spirit is called a gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit. His presence. The gift of his presence and the gifts that come from his presence are part of the new covenant. His Spirit living inside of us is a gift in and of himself. And then he's a gift that gives. And he gives us wonderful, marvelous things day by day. It says, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, this is John 7:38. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. He was talking about the Holy Spirit's innumerable and indescribable effects within us, some of which we can't even explain. What's he doing in there? From his innermost being will flow rivers of living water, indescribable effects that confirm our relationship with God. That confirm our relationship with God and confirm that we are his sons and we are his daughters and that he is with us and that he is mindful of us. He was describing, when he said those words, Jesus was describing how the Spirit reveals more of how marvelous Jesus is to us each day in just amazing and creative ways. The better we get to know him, the more of his abundance we experience. It's not that he gives us more, we experience more. We recognize what we've been given. And it's just the way it is. You get to know him, you get ready to be overwhelmed. So what are some of the gifts of his presence? His presence is a gift. What are some of the gifts of his presence? The miracle of new life. The miracle of new life is a gift of his presence. Lord, I thank you. I said the other day, I thank you, Lord, for the miracle of this new life that I have in you. I have a new life. It's a miracle. And it's made possible only because of your willingness to go through all that was necessary to remove the obstacles to your Spirit taking up residence within me. You removed all the obstacles. And he is the agent of my redemption. He is the agent of my justification. He is the agent of my regeneration. He is the agent of my renewal. And he is the one who reveals the things that God has freely given to me because of Christ. The new covenant blessings. It is the Holy Spirit who reveals those things and the unsearchable riches of Christ. He is in my life only because you gave your life to make it possible. So I thank you again and again and again. I thank you today for your generous and overwhelming love and grace. See, Jesus paid for all of these new covenant blessings with his blood. Communion is a part of that. That's why we celebrate. That's the joy that the Lord has allowed us to partake in. Another gift is he brings the truth of his word to life and refreshes it for us. You know, let's take this morning's text for an example. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It's a timeless truth. It's not new. How many of you have heard that verse before? Let me see your hand if you've heard that verse before. It is not new, but it is true. And the way that the Spirit works with us and the way He makes this truth relevant to us day after day, it's like it becomes like a fine wine to us. It's vintage. It's old. It ain't new. You might have had some before, but you sip it and you savor it and you and you enjoy it and you share it with others. And you realize that there have been many who have partaken of this drink before us, but it doesn't make it any less special. And if we sip it and stay with it long enough, Scripture calls this meditation, by the way. If you sip it and savor it long enough, it begins to take effect, just like wine starts to take effect on your spirit. And it moves your spirit to a place of joy and peace. And that's why the Lord says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. See, you can kind of be intoxicated by some foreign thing, or you can sip of the truths from my Spirit, and you can be filled with Him. And we can sit with one another. That's what fellowship is. We sit with one another and we sip together. We say, boy, this is good. You feeling that? Mm-hmm. We prayerfully sit with fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Another benefit is God's favor and Christ's righteousness. God's favor, His perpetual, eternal favor, and Christ's righteousness. You know, as believers, we're all scarred. We're all marred. We're all flawed. But we're also robed in the righteousness of Christ, the Scripture says. And that's how God sees us, as robed in the righteousness of Christ Himself. And we never need to be afraid or intimidated by where our faith is at any given moment because of that. Because no matter where your faith is in a given moment, no matter whether your performance in that given moment is stellar or whether your performance in that moment is shameful, you are robed in the righteousness of Christ at all times. And you have God's favor at all times. Why? Because Jesus paid for that with His blood. It is a benefit of the new covenant in His blood. See, in the old covenant, you got what you deserved. And everything you got, you deserved it. Under the new covenant, we get what we don't deserve. Simple as that. The old covenant, you get what you deserve. New covenant, you get what you don't deserve. You get what Jesus bought for you. This is my blood of the new covenant. I am shedding my blood to pay for a new arrangement between you and God. A new way of doing business that's not based on your works. It's based on the work of Jesus Christ. It's based on what He did. It's based on what He finished. It is finished. Paid in full. I've taken care of it. These are the gifts that are now yours. No wonder the scripture calls them unsearchable riches. No wonder Paul struggled to try to even frame them. So all he could say was the unsearchable riches of Christ. No matter what I tell you this morning, there's far more than what I can say. God's favor in Christ. We don't need to be afraid or intimidated by where our faith is at any given moment, whether we're strong or weak. Isaiah 42:3 says this, a bruised reed he will not break. You feel like a bruised reed? Feel like you just can't take it anymore? You feel like you're in a spot where you're tenuous? Your faith is tottering? A bruised reed he will not break. And a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. You feel like your faith is a smoldering wick? Guess what? There's a wick repair specialist. And before you know it, that thing is burning again. Feel like you're a bruised reed? You feel like you're kind of limping along, you know? You wake up one morning and you are running. Those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up like wings, with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not faint. Because we have one who cares for our faith. We can invite him into whatever spiritual place we're in, acknowledging that he's the perfecter of our faith. Lord, my faith needs some help here. You know, sometimes we think it's up to us to generate the faith. You know what? Have faith in the one who is the perfecter of your faith. Why are we struggling trying to think it's up to us when he is saying, I'm the perfecter of your faith. And you got one job. Believe in the one whom he has sent. And believe in me as the perfecter of your faith. It ain't up to you. And then finally, there's unlimited opportunity for growth. Part of the gift. Part of the gift of the new covenant is unlimited opportunity for growth. Remember what I wrote a while back? Some of you remember this. I was talking about pro baseball. And I said, pro baseball spring training. It's fully upon us right now. Baseball can be experienced on a very basic level, like a little league game, or it can be deeper than the average observer would ever detect, including such things as scouting reports on each player, off-season conditioning, nutrition, management, team meetings, spring training, equipment choices, in-game strategy. All these things are a part of baseball, not little league baseball. Little league, they just run to that base. No. Keep going. No, turn. That's one form of baseball. And then there's this other form that contains all these elements. And so it is with a walk with the Lord. He's willing to be as basic with us as we desire. And if we want more of him, there are levels of that experience unknown to the casual observer that eclipse the imagination. Yes, Jesus loves me can be a children's Sunday school song, or it can be a profound and life-changing truth. The Bible calls that depth of infinite possibility, that growth opportunity, the Bible calls that the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that is why, no matter how much we think we know of him, there's so much more of him to know. And that is why people who knew him intimately could say, I want to know him better. And that is, again, why Paul prayed for the Ephesians. You guys know him, but I want you to know him even better. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desire of your heart. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And when I think of delighting myself in the Lord and him giving me the desire of my heart, I think of chicken wings. I think of the flats and the drummies. Now, how many of you like the flats? Okay, how many of you like the drummies? Okay, how many of you like both equally? All right, so we're split down the middle here. Half of you like the drummies, half of you like the flats. Now, how many of you like that little thing attached to the flat, that little tiny little bone thing that there's nothing on it at all? I throw that thing away so fast. I have no use for that. It's not even worth, I'm spending more energy eating it than I am getting anything from it. Yeah, that, you know, there's the drummy, and then there's the flap that's on. Oh, that thing. I'm a drummy's person. They can keep the flats and that other thing, especially that little skinny part thing. Delight yourself in the Lord. When I think about this, delight yourself in the Lord. I think that's the drummy for me. That's the drummy. And he'll give you the desires of your heart is the flat part. You can keep that, Lord. Really. Because if you just bless me, if you just bless me to delight myself in you, if you just make that a reality in my life, where you are my supreme delight, where you are my truest treasure, where you are my brightest dream. If you do that for me, what else do I need? Because whom have I in heaven but you, and besides you, at that point I desire nothing else on earth. So Lord, I'm focused on the first part. Now, I know you. I know you. And you're a God of abundance. Because what you're going to do is you're going to wind up giving me all these other things that I didn't even know I wanted. Because that's how you are. I know your tricks. I've seen you do that. But for my part, what I really, really want is you to bless me so that this is true of me, that I am delighting myself in the Lord. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek. One thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. I want you to be that to me, Jesus. You be that to me. And I'll let you handle the flats and the little flappy thing. You can keep those. Give me the drummies. Thank you, Lord, for paying to make all this possible. Everything that's a part of my life in you and your life in me. Thank you for my fellowship with other believers. Thank you for the presence of your Spirit and the presence of your Spirit. The joy that you give, the peace, the refreshing truth. As the scripture says, come to the Lord, it says in Acts, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Thank you for my citizenship in heaven, my residence in heaven. Thank you for this eternal, all-inclusive, paid in full by you. Let's take some time to remember the Lord together. I'm done.